Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, June 19th, 2025. We'll start with a story titled Keeping History Alive, Project Success, St. James UMC Host Juneteenth Celebration for Area Youth, and this is written by Kegla White. Students participating in Project Success for the summer enjoyed delicious food and snow cones, as well as a chance to create their own art pieces and spend time with friends as part of the group's third annual Juneteenth celebration on Tuesday. The event was a collaboration between Project Success and St. James United Methodist Church, which is hosting the nonprofit all summer. We were looking for space for quite a while because we knew we were able to run all summer. We knew we were able to run all summer if we had space, and space is the hardest for us, of course, said Project Success CEO Kimberly David. The schools are so generous and we're able to be there, but once they start cleaning, we have to leave. And I need to go to the next page, so give me one second here. We need to leave the school. When someone recommended she reach out to the pastor of St. James, they were happy to come on board, David said. Event coordinator Brianna Buford said most people are unaware of what Juneteenth is or why it's important to celebrate. Juneteenth marks the day in history of the last enslaved people being freed in Texas, Buford said. It's all about freedom and liberation, and just a joyous time where a dark past has left, and it's time for a new, bright future. Buford said the goal of their Juneteenth celebration is to keep history alive for the youth, especially. They are our future, so if they don't know why we are celebrating it, or when the holiday is, or why we should celebrate it, in the future it won't be celebrated, she said. Though Juneteenth celebrates the liberation of enslaved Africans, Buford said it's a day of celebration for every American. Juneteenth is not just for one culture group. It's for everybody because it really does take everybody to celebrate and to keep the memory alive, she said. If someone doesn't have an African-American or African background, sometimes they may think they shouldn't celebrate it, but they should because it celebrates freedom in the bright future, and it leaves a legacy behind of such a great thing, Buford said. A larger Juneteenth celebration will take place Thursday at Carver Park from 1 to 9 p.m. and will be posted by Juneteenth Celebration Committee, as well as Danville residents Javian Smith and Jalen Williams. Project Success staffs, and there's a picture of Project Success staff food at St. James United Methodist Church Tuesday for the nonprofit organization's Juneteenth celebration. Next story is titled A Chance to Hear What She Said, Local Women to Participate in Live Storytelling Show at the Fisher. Nine women will take the stage at the historic Fisher Theater Friday evening as part of this year's That's What She Said Danville show. The annual show features new women every year, each with a unique story to share from the heart. The goal of the She Said project shows is to build community through the power of storytelling. This year's cast includes Patty Myers, owner of Myers Carpet Weavers Flooring and Design Studio, as well as MC Linda Darby, CEO of Sunset Funeral Homes. Other cast members include Julie Beto, Carla Boyd, Liz Hasty, Diamond Moss, Brittany Morris, Kaylee Rises, and Carissa Watson. For She Said Project CEO Janet Jerzik, one of the blessings of producing and directing these shows is the opportunity to work with the women on writing their stories. We have spent the last few months laughing together, crying together, and connecting deeply. That is what the story is all about, she said. These are women who shape their community and represent the businesses and organizations that make it so vibrant, Jerzik said. The audience will witness these incredible women they know and love shine in a whole new light as they bravely and boldly share their unique and special stories. Each year, a portion of the night's proceeds goes to a select local nonprofit. This year's charity partner is the Survivor Resource Center. The show will start at 7 p.m. and be followed by an after-party in the lobby of the Fisher. All the guests are welcome to stay after and mingle with the client, with the cast, as well as She Said Project CEO Jeanette Jerzik. Tickets are $34 each and can be purchased on the Fisher Theater website at thefisher.com. Tickets can also be purchased at the door. For more information, visit shesaidproject.com. And there's a picture of the cast of That's What She Said. Danville 2025 poses for a photo in the historic Fisher Theater. The live on one night show will take place at the Fisher Friday, June 20th at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at thefisher.com. Next story is titled, Arts in the Parks kicks off Saturday. Family-free, friendly fun all day. This is written by Kegla White. Artists and vendors will line up on Artists Promenade at Lincoln Park Saturday and Sunday, June 21st and 22nd, to share and sell their wares. As in previous years, there will also be a full schedule of live performances as well as a select number of food trucks. No matter what you're interested in, what type of music or performances, there's something for everyone, said Annie Wright Pagendorf, Vice President of Arts in the Parks Board. Make your own art. There will be two sidewalk chalk contests this year, one in the morning from 10:30 to 12:30, and another one in the afternoon from 1:30 to 3:30. 1:30 to 3:30. Registration starts 30 minutes prior to each contest. There will also be a kids' arts and crafts tent on site, which will feature lots of options for making art to take home. This year's kids at heart will have the chance to learn to create string art. Participation in the art tent is free, but donations are appreciated. Car show. For those who love old cars, this year's car show will take place Saturday, 11 to 3 p.m. It will be hosted and judged by the Ileana Antique Automobile Club. They have always had an amazing turnout for that, with some really, really interesting vehicles, right? Pogendorf said. Awards will be given to the top 50 cars, trucks, customs, street rods, discontinued makes and models, and more. There will also be a Best of the Show award. For those interested in participating, there is a $15 entry fee, and registration will take place from 9 to 11 a.m. For more information, contact Rod Suttle at 217-213-4020. Arts on display. As for the art displayed along the promenade, there will be art made from several different mediums that people can enjoy and even purchase. There will be everything from watercolors to other actual physical, tangible things that you can hold, like jewelry. We have someone that does pottery too, right? Pogendorf said. There's quite a bit there. This year's promenade will also feature some new artists, some local and others who will be traveling from a bit further away. Not only is there physical art that you can see and purchase, but you can also speak with the artist who created it, which is, I think, one of the most amazing things, to be able to connect with the artist so that they can talk to you about their work and explain what it means to them, right? Pogendorf said. Live entertainment. All weekend, music will be drifting through this historic Lincoln Park area. This year's schedule includes Saturday, June 21st at 10 o'clock, Ukulele Molly, 11 a.m., Adrian Rose and A.J. Otter, 12 p.m., Spotlight Performing Arts, 1 p.m., Awards and Announcements, 1:30 p.m., Xavier Hosseini, 2 p.m., The Wood Chips, 3 p.m., Tomcat on the Piano and Julianne Randall, 4 p.m., Cotter Grimm Theatrical Storytellers, 5 p.m., In Bloom, 6 p.m., Gilded Cages, 7 p.m., Carrying Torches, Sunday, June 22nd, 11 a.m., Kristen Rebecca, 11:30 Evan Williamson, 12 p.m. Jody's Dance Unlimited, 1 p.m. DLO Musical Theater, 2 o'clock Kate Emmett, 3 o'clock Sturg and Friends, 4 is Aaron Newsom, and 6 p.m. is Danville Municipal Band. Food trucks. Unlike on previous years, the organization has pared down their food truck offerings this year. We pared down our food truck offerings so we can really focus on businesses who are more local so that we could support that aspect of it, right? Pogendorf said. Still, there will be plenty available, including Gordo's Food Truck, Big Al's Shake Ups, The Smokehouse, Peepaw's Pete's Ice Cream, Hangry Food Trailer, TNG's Barbecue. The best parts of arts in the park is that everything from the live entertainment to the art tent and so much more is free. It's something where you can go and spend the whole day there and not have to break the bank, Wright said. For more information, check out Arts in the Park's official Facebook page. There's just one obituary today. Stephen Arthur Tallman, 74, of Danville, passed away June 14th. Visitation will be at the Danville Hope Unite Unlimited Church June 27th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Next story is titled, DCC Announces Employees of the Month. The Danville Correctional Center named its Dietary Staff Employees of the Month for May. CFSS 2 Daniel Anderson, CFSS 2 Cody Geyer, TACFSS Michael Montgomery, James Ferguson, Dennis Miller, Jonathan Michelin, Brian Puckett, Charles Cunningham, Brendan Mano, Heather Price, Lisa Abed, Juana Buchanan, and Michael Gill are food service supervisors who have made the department a cleaner, safer, and more positive place to work. The past year has been an extremely difficult one for this department, but through it all, they have found a way to come together and push through every challenge they have been presented with, Warden McKenna Wenzel said. They have gone far above and beyond to do whatever was needed to ensure this department continued to persevere. These supervisors have worked very hard to ensure the highest level of cleanliness to create the most sanitary place to work and eat. They are not only keeping the department clean, but ensuring the root issues have been addressed, corrected, and maintained, acquiring compliments from not only fellow co-workers, but the union, facility management, and central office staff, Wenzel added. It has taken an enormous amount of teamwork, leadership, commitment, and dedication of these supervisors to have a difficult year and still come together to make this dietary department one we are all proud of. Next story is VCCD announces summer events. The summer begins. As summer begins, the Vermilion County Conservation District has a lot of programs and events planned for the next 2 months. Illinois Bats. The VCCD will sponsor a program June 21st about Illinois bats at the Kennecook Education Center. The second of four Nature at Night educational series will highlight our native bats, their amazing adaptions, and struggles they are currently facing, with an indoor presentation followed by an outdoor exploration to search for them in flight. An echolocation device will help identify their high frequencies. The cost is $5 per person. Participants under the age of 16 need to be accompanied by an adult. Coyote Workshop. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources will host a coyote track workshop at the Kennecook Education Center, Kennecook County Park, Saturday, June 28th from 9 to 3 p.m. With its interactive visualization tool, the Coyote Track website centers around coyote ecology and behavior using data collected from radio-collared coyotes in urban and rural areas of Illinois. Several Chicago area urban coyotes and rural Illinois coyotes have been fitted with satellite tracking collars, making it possible to monitor and analyze their movements and behavior over time. This presents a unique learning opportunity for students in the community to familiarize themselves with their mysterious four-legged community members. Using real data, the workshop will guide participants through two visualization data tool and standards based lessons that support the unit. Participants will learn about how and why scientists are studying coyotes in Illinois, including learning about telemetry and how the information is gathered. The workshop is geared for teachers of Illinois high school and middle school students. Others may attend but will need to adapt materials. Professional development hours are available. Sponsored by IDNR, this workshop is part of the ENTICE Environment and Nature Training Institute for Conservation Education program. Registration is only $11 per person at https://enticeworkshop.com. Summer camps. There are still spots for open for VCCD summer camps at either Forest Glen or Kennecott County Park. For kids 6 to 9, there is a Young Explorers Camp on June 26th from 9 to 3 p.m. at the Gannell Education Center in Forest Glen. Kids will participate in a nature hike, roast a hot dog for lunch, discover wildlife, and create an arts and crafts project. The cost is $35 a child. Pioneer Kids will go from 9 to 11:30 on July 23rd with campers hiking to the Pioneer Homestead at Forest Glen, make a jump rope, and cook a sweet treat on the hearth to enjoy. The price is $20 a child. For children ages 10 to 13, the Gone Fishing Camp will go from 9 to 11:30 at the Maple Grove Lounge at Forest Glen. Campers will practice fishing from start to finish, bait a hook, and care for your fish after the catch. Campers will see a live ethical demonstration on how to clean, cut, and prepare fish after catching. The cost is $20 a child, and all fishing equipment will be provided. The Junior Explorers Camp will go from 9 to 3 p.m. at the White Oak Park Barn at Kennecott. The camp is similar to the Young Explorers Camp, but with nature activities geared more to their age range. The cost of the camp is $35 a child. Moonlight Glow Paddle. The Moonlight Glow Paddle on Lake Mingo will take place at Kennecott Park on July 12th from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Registration is required, and it is $15 for a rental boat and $5 if someone brings their own boat. The event is for ages 12 and up, and life jackets are required. And Meteor Shower Event on August 12th, Forest Glen will host the Perseids Meteor Shower viewing event from 9 to 11 p.m. at Meadowlark's Shelter. Bring chairs or a blanket and set up to watch a stunning night sky. Flashlights are encouraged, and staff will have red covers available to prevent impacting night vision. Next story is titled White to Step Away from WICF, and this is in Covington, Indiana. Western Indiana Community Foundation CEO Del White has announced that his intentions to step down next year. Last month, I informed our board of directors of my intention to step away from my role as CEO of the Western Indiana Community Foundation on March 31st, 2026, White said. While this date is still 10 months away, I believe in the power of planning, transparency, and thoughtful transitions, values that have guided our work for the past two decades. This isn't goodbye, it's simply a passing on the torch for both me and the foundation. Over the next 10 months, I remain fully committed to our mission and the communities we serve, he added. Together with our outstanding board and staff, we'll continue to support local nonprofits, steward charitable gifts, and invest in the people and places that make Fountain and Vermilion counties so special. We are grateful for all that Dell has done for the foundation during his nearly 20 years in his role, said Morgan Elmore, chair of the WICF Board of Directors. The foundation has grown tremendously under his leadership. White began his relationship with the Western Indiana Community Foundation in July of 2005 after a two-decade career in serving nonprofits in administration, marketing, public relations, and asset development in central and eastern Illinois. Since his arrival, the foundation's assets have grown from $8 million to $44 million. The growth includes the management of over 375 charitable funds. During White's tenure, the Western Indiana Community Foundation distributed more than $20 million in grants and scholarships to benefit Fountain and Vermilion County. Throughout his career with WICF, White has been a part of the foundation receiving over $22 million in charitable contributions, strengthening local nonprofits by building endowment funds and providing grants, managing the Lilly Endowment Community Scholarships Program Award, full tuition scholarships to 34 students for more than totaling $3 million since 2005, successfully meeting all four challenge matches presented by the Lilly Endowment Incorporated, the ongoing development of the Covington Circle Trail, adding the Vermilion County Community Foundation under its umbrella, and much, much more. I'm incredibly proud of what we've built together over the past 20 years. Thank you for being part of that journey, White said. Whether you're a donor, a grantee, a volunteer, a partner, or a friend of the foundation, your trust and support have made all the difference, and I have no doubt that the best is yet to come. A search committee will be appointed soon to develop a timeline, create a process for hiring, and other details related to the search. The goal is to make this transition as smooth as possible without disruption in service for the community foundation, said Elmer. White's leadership leaves the foundation in a strong position for the future. Well, that's pretty much the local news, so we'll do a sports story. Pacers take small rest before Game 6 in Indianapolis. Given the way Indiana guard Tyrese Haliburton was limping on his way from the post-game news conference after Game 5 of NBA Finals, it's safe to assume he's a fan of the schedule right now. Put simply, he could use a couple days off at least. Haliburton has a lower leg injury. Nobody's saying exactly what it is, whether it's an ankle or calf or something else. And it seems to be the sort that if this were a back-to-back situation in December, he'd be missing at least one game. But these are the finals. This is June. There are no back-to-backs in the... These are the finals. This is June. There is no back-to-backs in the playoffs, and when the league gets to the last series, two-day breaks between games aren't uncommon. Amen to that. The Pacers are probably seeing right about now. The finals, the NBA Finals, is one of the great stages in all of sports, Pacers coach Rick Carlisle said, and so it shouldn't happen quickly and abruptly. It should happen at the right pace and the right tempo, and the space is in between games does help player health. That's a very important aspect. There was a one-day gap between games in the year's final just once, separating games 3 and 4 in Indianapolis. Everything else has been a two-day gap and will be in it as well as will be the case going into Game 6 at Indy on Thursday night. And if the Pacers win to force a Game 7 back in Oklahoma City, that'll be preceded by another 2 days off going into an ultimate game on Sunday night. It should be noted that the Thunder don't mind the schedule being drawn out either. We recover, Oklahoma City coach Mark Degnott said. The finals are great because you get extra time in between the games. I think that's huge in terms of rest and recovery at this time of the year. I think it's good for the product. I think it's a good thing, and by the time the ball goes on in the air, everybody is going to be ready to play, and everybody's going to be excited. Even those who aren't dealing with an injury seem to be welcoming the 2 days gap between final games. It's a lot of games. It's firing for sure. Thunder star and league MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander said, but every game is tiring. When giving your all every possession, you're going to be tired. I don't think I'm the only one out there that is tired. It wasn't always like this. The first NBA Finals were in 1947, and I got to change the page here, before the league was called the NBA. It was the Basketball Association of America then, and before the title round was called the Finals. After being called the BAA Finals in the early years, it was called the NBA World Championship Series until mid-1980s. The first year, Philadelphia and Chicago played 5 games in 7 days. It would be unthinkable to play at that pace now. The NBA, in the last decade, hasn't even scheduled stretches like that in the regular season. The finals between Minneapolis and New York did the same thing, 5 games, 7 days, in 1953. Boston and the Los Angeles Lakers played 5 games, 5-game series in an 8-day stretch span in 1965. Golden State and Washington played 4 games in 8 days in 1975, with 2 cross-country flights in there as well. And this was long before charter flights became the rule in the NBA. 2, we're fortunate in this series. Travel is pretty reasonable, not a long distance, Carlisle said. Evidently, we're aware that the finals has the shortest distance between the dueling cities. Oklahoma City and Indianapolis are separated by 688 miles by air than any final matchup since 1956. Not a long flight. I do believe it's a better circumstance for the overall integrity of the competition. The 2 extra days gives everybody, Halliburton, coaches, everyone, more time to get ready. The father, Dangenaut, the father of kids ages 2, 3, and 2, said it gives him time to be a dad between games. I do twice as much parenting, he said, not twice as much work. Carlisle and coaches get more time to study film as the point in the series is pretty clear that the Thunder and Pacers know each other about as well as they can. And Halliburton will get another 24 hours of whatever scheme the Pacers medical staff draws up to try to get his leg good to go in game six. Just a couple quick news briefs. Hoopston Library closed for the holidays. The Hoopston Public Library will be closed today, June 19th, for the Juneteenth holidays. And VFW Fish to have Fish Fry the next third Friday. Fish Fry, sponsored by the VFW Auxiliary number 2395, will be Friday, June 20th, from 5 to 7 p.m. EST time at the Post at 1212 Liberty Street in Covington. The menu includes fish, fries, baked beans, slaw, and tea. The cost is $15 for the public and $12 for veterans. Dine-in and carryouts are available. Monies are used to support community projects, veterans' needs, and expenses incurred with operating the Post and its activities. And Trucelli to speak at the Lions. Brooke Trucelli, Director of Community Relations in Danville of the Danville Public Library, will speak at the Danville Lions Club at noon today, June 19th. The Lions Club meets at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main Street. And Vermilion County SWCD to meet. The regular board meeting of the Vermilion County SWCD will be held Wednesday, June 18th at 8:30 a.m. at the USDA Service Center at 1905A U.S. Route 150 in Danville. So, and that'll be it for today, Thursday, June 19th. 2025. Happy Juneteenth Day. Hope you all get out there and celebrate. It's supposed to be a good weekend, a little hot, I guess, so try to stay cool when you can. Hope you all have a good week, and I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.